All right. Well, I'm recording my mic into Audacity and yours into Audition because they're different. Because yours is an XLR and mine's a USB.
Oh.
So
we're going to have to sync them up.
Yes, which I will do right now.
Mm-hmm. Henceforth.
Oh, it sucked.
That was awful. Ah, there you go.
There we go.
We've had to do this on my other extremely low-risk podcast that I will announce right now. Me and my two best friends from high school who've, like, we have consistently just, like, always had a podcast with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And now we actually have, like, a kind of good concept behind it. There's no episodes released yet, but it's just called KSC Eternally.
I wonder where the
Kyle Sam Carson. Yeah. And it's just like a record of us hanging out, but like we lost the Zoom recorder we were supposed to record everything on, so we've just been individually recording all the audio separately on our phones.
Oh no.
Yeah. So we'll see how this first couple episodes turn out.
Oh my god, that's awful.
It'll be funny. Yeah.
That's awful to deal with, I mean. Like
I think the audio will turn out fine. It is just like a fucking nightmare.
Just syncing that
I have every episode. Like, I have all the files, and I'm just like, I'm just not going to edit this yet. Every time I sit down to almost do it, I'm like, gun.
I've changed my mind.
Where's the cool breeze of a revolver in my mouth?
Speaking of cool breezes, welcome back.
Hi. Sorry we were gone for so long.
Yeah,
we're so busy.
It's been over a month since Carson and I have sat down and had a funny little episode together. And
you did an episode with Jack, though.
I did.
Did people like it?
I don't know.
Yeah,
It's been a while since I've like read feedback on any of our episodes, and also like, people don't like tweet at us after each episode, like good episode or bad episode. So I don't really know. But
it'd be funny. Maybe that's like truly making it in the podcast world is people tweeting at you if it was good or bad.
Yeah.
Like, good one, Pete, you piece of shit.
Bad one, actually. You know, this one fucking sucked, actually.
This one was bad.
I think it was a good episode, though. I mean,
I liked it. It was weird to listen to. Yeah. It was like being cucked. It was very strange. And I do know what that's like. So how about you back off, you know? Holy. How about you cease your judgment?
Hey, back off.
Hey.
I thought that was a good episode. I actually liked the Patreon even more than the normal episode,
which just got posted.
If
you're not
yesterday,
on Patreon, go subscribe
as of yesterday. When this video goes up,
can you gift somebody the Patreon like for the holidays? Like, do you think anybody got our Patreon for Christmas?
I don't know.
I highly doubt it, but I'd love for it to be true.
That would be really funny. Yeah, subscribe to our Patreon to hear.
Oh, my fly's down.
Episode. That's awesome.
Oops.
We need you to subscribe to our Patreon so we can afford to have our 7B repaired. And oh my god.
Maybe give me a new chair too in the process.
A new chair and buy another 7B so we have like competent recording equipment. Even if you don't, you know, thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.
I know it's a kind of a difficult time to be a fan of our podcast because
we're two touring working musicians.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to tell people.
Yeah, it's but especially last month, like fucking it was the holidays and Carson was was finishing a whole goddamn album.
Delivered an album to our label.
Yeah. But it's done and it's amazing.
It is done. I do feel it's crazy that it's done. Like I keep like our delivery date was 5 days before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep forgetting that it's done. Like I'm like, there's something else I have to do, but then there's nothing. I'm like, fuck.
It's just all turned in.
It's all turned in. Yeah.
Which like, and Chet, I don't know when it's coming out, but
I do.
I would hope
we have
so.
An official release date.
I would hope you know when it's coming out.
I know when the singles come out. I know everything.
But when it does come out, man,
yeah,
I cannot stress enough just how fucking amazing this record
oh,
is.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I didn't know you felt that way about
oh,
it.
Oh, dude, I fucking, like, there was a period of time, like, I mean, this was like when it was still being mixed and I was listening to it and I was like, ah, on a couple tracks. But like,
awesome.
I think I told you about one of them where I was like, I don't know where you're going with this.
Which one? What? Oh, track five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny because, I mean, I don't want to reveal too much, but it's so funny because everybody that's listened to the record, which is not a lot of people, mm-hmm. it's like you and Whitney are kind of two of the only people outside of our team that have heard it. Mm-hmm. Maybe a few others, but you and Whitney, I gave it to you guys early because you guys are fam, but mm-hmm. Everyone that's heard it within our team and outside of our team has a different favorite and least favorite, which I yeah. think is a good sign.
Oh yeah.
For the most part, like you saying that you didn't like track five, I was like,
at first, and then yeah. After that was the statement that's the one that I came back to the most around that time.
Oh wow, yeah.
So nice. It started out as my least favorite, and then at the time it was my favorite, and now, I don't know what it is at this point. I don't really think I have a least favorite, honestly. Well, maybe
This is such a funny conversation.
It's so funny because nobody
we
else
can't, we can't reveal anything else.
I think the one before, like the one before the final track, but like not the
oh
yeah
track 12.
If we're talking about like songs, the song that precedes that.
Really?
But I still love that song.
Really?
But like, I'm just saying, okay. Like, right. I'm saying, like, compared to the rest of it.
Interesting. Okay.
Right. Like, because, like, baseline, all
our
of the
booking
songs
agent
are, like,
heard it today, and he said that was his favorite. So
that's
like,
awesome.
Again, like, it is.
Oh,
I think
a lot of people will like that song.
Oh, I think
like,
people are
sure.
gonna love that song.
I think baseline, every track on the record is at least an 8 for me.
Let's go.
Like, yeah. And so like, me saying I have a least favorite is not like that track fucking sucks ass.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But yeah, amazing fucking record. Can't wait for it to come out.
I'm really proud of it. We like kind of Maddie and I are having a talk like this weekend to figure out where we're going next after it too. So mm-hmm. Ball's rolling. It's so weird to be done. Like yeah. I feel like this one even more than Celebrity Therapist. I mean, we basically sat on Celebrity Therapist for like 2 years because of just label stuff and COVID and whatnot. And like that record, I feel like I wasn't living in it as much because it was so much like go, 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 stop.
Mm-hmm.
Go, 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 stop. Go, 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 stop. And it was just like constant push and pull, and I was like, maybe this will never come out. Yeah. That's kind of how I felt about Celebrity Therapist. So the day it came out, I was just kind of like, oh yeah, right, like yeah. cool. Whereas this one, it feels like I've been working on this one for like 7 years.
Oh
like,
yeah. Like
it really does feel that way. So
I kind of felt that too, just like with how often you were like at Dom's working on it, like you were basically
yeah.
living there.
I did live month. There yeah for like yeah. a month or
and,
so
and like every time I would come over to record, y'all were working on like a different song.
Yeah,
like, damn.
Yeah.
How many fucking tracks are on this thing?
It is a long record. Yeah. It is a surprisingly long record. But, I wanted to bring this up before we, because I imagine this is going to be a long episode, which like whatever. Yeah. We got to give you guys a meaty one mm-hmm. for waiting for so long. Just to completely topic switch, do you think being on a sitcom as a young person turns you into a fucking crazy person?
It has a high likelihood to, I would say.
Yeah.
Um,
I was thinking about it while I was taking a piss.
Yeah, I think.
By the way, my pee is so clear right now.
That's awesome.
I know, man.
You have that big ass water bottle.
I do. This is the. I'm on. This is. I believe this is my. I'm at the end of my third refill.
Oh my
of
god!
It today. Yeah. So.
I gotta pick up my water intake.
You bro. Do. It's. This is like. I'll be almost at 2 gallons. So.
Damn.
Yeah.
You've been pissing today.
I have been pissing. I've been trying to do this because. Like, pretty much everyone I know that's like a like really good competent live vocalist. Not to say I'm not, but like everyone I know that's like a really really good one is like, yeah, you drink 3 gallons of water a day. Like,
yeah,
Jesus fucking Christ, that's a lot of water. But yeah. Like, yeah, I'll be at 3 gallons once I finish this.
That's awesome. So. I guess it works. Like,
I guess so, man. Fuck.
Yeah, I gotta do that.
It's a lot of water. It's a lot of fucking water.
A lot of fucking water.
Yeah. What are you gonna do though? You know,
drink it.
Fucking drink it, dude.
Yeah.
I guess I'll be drinking.
Yeah, I feel like it's not necessarily the sitcom itself that turns a child actor into a crazy person. It's like the culture of Hollywood and like treating them. Like an adult when they're like 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd imagine that could fuck you up. I like retrospectively, I am surprised Justin Bieber is alive.
Like, I can't believe Justin Bieber is alive.
I can't believe he didn't kill himself.
Cameron Crowe being a Christian that won't kiss anybody who put his wife on, or not Cameron Crowe, Kirk Cameron.
Yeah. Kirk Cameron.
He won't kiss anybody but his wife on camera.
Which is really funny.
I think it's hilarious. Like
to be an actor in quotes and have that have that stipulation is really funny.
He wasn't even on a big sitcom, was he?
Which one was he on? He's on like Even Stevens or
Family
something.
Ties?
Family Guy?
I don't think so, no. Him and I was thinking about it. The fucking kid from 2.5 Men.
Oh,
he's like a evangelical, like born again Christian. I don't know if he still is, but around the time that 2.5 Men was ending, he was like going on like Christian YouTube channels and being like, "What that show will teach you is evil." Which is awesome.
There was a YouTuber that I watched like years ago called Haydox that I don't even remember what he fucking made videos about. It might have been Smash Brothers or something.
Sure.
But he posted a video like this week that was like, it was like, goodbye YouTube. And I click on it and he's like, I'm Catholic now. And he's deleted his entire channel except for his very first video and that video. And he's like, I don't think YouTube aligns with my religious beliefs anymore. I'm deleting every video off my channel and leaving YouTube. And it's like, fuck, okay.
He's got allegations coming. I know how that works.
Holy, yeah, fucking Russell Brand. Ooh.
Russell Brand, and then there's a comedian named Shane Smith.
Don't know
who like, is. Dude, I didn't, like.
Did you find out about him because he has allegations?
No, I texted. If you saw him, you'd be like, oh, I remember seeing, like, clips of him doing stand-up a few years ago. You'd be like, oh, I know this guy. He's got like a fucking throat tattoo. He's got a lot of tattoos that are like irresponsible.
And he's turning to Christianity.
Catholicism. Specifically. Yeah. Catholicism is getting a lot of people these days.
It got my buddy Jack.
Really?
Yeah. A different not any of the Jacks involved in the local scene.
Not Jack Morris, not
he doesn't
Jack
even
Kern.
Live in Georgia. But like he met
How are they doing this? How do we restructure our Patreon pitch to get them as well as Catholicism?
Yeah. That we could get our Patreon to be a Catholic offering.
I was saying our Patreon could be sort of the new Catholicism.
Oh, yeah. We get a shit ton of people that way.
I love money.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's super sick.
I think it's not evil at all.
That's why I do everything I do is for money.
I feel like Batman or Halo.
Me Me too, man.
I feel like Batman
Check
or Halo.
Check it on me in 2 days. See what car I bought.
I don't think anything's funnier than I feel like Batman or Halo.
I feel like Batman or Halo and then immediately killing yourself.
Exploding.
Immediately fucking blowing up your Cybertruck.
Was he in it?
Yes.
Holy
he's dead.
Shit. Whoa.
He fucking died, dude.
Oh my God.
He blew up his Cybertruck outside of Trump Tower on purpose. Like, that wasn't a Tesla, like, fuck up. That was him blowing it up.
That's so funny.
I don't know what message he was trying to send with that one, because he
was one.
I thought
everybody was making jokes about it because no one died.
No,
but now that I know
that
he died, it might be funnier.
Well, because, like, I think it kind of is, because, like, one, he was a huge Trumper.
Yeah,
he fucking
crazy.
Loved Trump. And then, like,
he was also working on drones, apparently.
He was working on drones. He was, like, involved in the military somehow. He was, like, Special Forces or something. And
yeah,
then
Special Forces, yeah.
He liked Elon enough to buy a fucking Cybertruck, and then somehow all of that
I thought he rented
to...
it.
Oh, that's right. He rented it. That part
it.
Is wrong, then.
Yeah.
So maybe he fucking hates Elon.
I don't know.
And, like... Cause like that can't be good press for Tesla. Like they're already they released their year over year report last week and it was down for the first time since they
really
yeah like car
Damn.
Sales were down
and now it's
them,
down
like,
one more
one less Tesla able to be sold.
I feel like Batman or Halo.
Me when I feel
and
like
just
Batman
exploding is so.
Yeah, it's like in Halo.
I bet he feels even more like Halo now.
When's he respawning, bro?
Yeah. Well, because he's an angel now.
Oh.
Halo.
Yes.
I feel like Batman or Halo.
Yes, and... Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Batman or Halo. Yeah. Oh. So we title the episode, I Feel Like Batman or Halo. Would that be fucked up?
She wants to dance like Batman or Halo.
Oh my God. Oh. Welcome back to the show, people.
Shit. Oh, we're back, man.
Oh, we are so back. We're so back. It's unreal. God,
this sucks, man.
That chair.
I'm gonna see if I can survive. Like, you know what? I can feel it slipping. I don't think it's gonna work. I'm just gonna not move.
Yeah, just stay completely still the whole episode.
Okay. Justin Bieber, is he Catholic as well?
I don't know.
I feel like he's some variety of something.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they definitely marketed him as like a Christian boy at first. And then like and then he made Boyfriend and they're like, never mind.
They're like, "Whoa.
Hold on.
Like, wait a minute." Can he fuck? Get rid of the Christians.
Get rid of them.
If he can fuck, then maybe. Yeah, maybe keep. Maybe keep the fucking. How old was he when he made Boyfriend?
I don't know. Maybe let's not continue this bit. Let's skip to a. Let's see. What's a later song? What Do You Mean? I know he was an adult when that one came out.
What Do You Mean he can fuck?
Is God attempting to strike
yeah,
you
I know.
Down? For
what
our
am
audio,
I, we
for
might
our
have
audio
to...
listeners, Carson's chair has slipped like four times.
We might have to cut this joke, but one of my favorite tweets from my friend Nick Oldershaw was just like,
I like to give my dick sucked while I'm getting high. Make a deep throw to mouth, let the kid try. I say who quit.
Okay, we gotta cut that.
Yeah, we definitely have to cut
Let
that.
Me write that down. Holy.
We definitely have to cut that.
It's
it came out of my mouth, and I was like, oh shit, we definitely have to cut that.
It's really funny, but we can't keep
that. Yeah, we can't keep that. Fuck
this fucking chair, man.
Everything's a nightmare, dude.
Do we want to switch to the floor? I can angle the camera.
You know what?
Down.
Let's just keep trying.
Okay.
If it completely breaks underneath me,
like if I do, you're not even moving, and it's
no,
doing
I'm
that.
Not even moving.
Oh, it did break.
Fuck.
Okay.
All right,
team. It's floor time.
It's floor time, team.
I'm gonna angle the camera.
Floor
down.
Time, team. This is the dumbest I've ever felt. Well,
welcome back to the show, everybody. We're on the floor now.
Hopefully it's floor time.
It's floor time. You yeah. can see more of my records that I have here. Yeah. Hello.
We're Amy Lee just now. Gazing into the camera.
Yeah, Schlatt as well. Gazing into the camera. Fucking Jordy Greep getting his head cut off.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That
is crazy that that chair fucking broke.
I know. Anyway, Justin Bieber,
mm-hmm.
unconfirmed for Catholic.
Yeah. Don't know.
We don't know yet.
Because I don't want to look.
I'm good on knowing, I think. There's some things that I'm just like okay on, you know?
Yeah. Like, I don't need to know that.
Yeah. Anyway, comedian Shane Smith, like, got allegations lobbed at him, and he, like, just reemerged as Catholic. Like, deleted everything and then reemerged as Catholic.
Holy. That's a classic strat, I'd say.
I'd say, yeah, I mean, it's the one strat that you maybe have.
Mm-hmm. Either that or, like, yeah, I did it.
That, too. That is also possible. You
try and keep going.
Yeah, you could also just try and, you know, I don't know. Do we want to get to the song?
I don't, but I feel like we
What else can we talk about? We already talked about Sonic off pod.
Yeah.
I don't have much else to say about Sonic 3. You fell asleep during Nosferatu.
Yeah.
Not
on purpose. I think, like, I need to rewatch it.
Oh.
What?
Oh. I have something so good to tell you.
Okay.
You know how my girlfriend is kind of face blind?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just like can't really tell the difference between different white guy actors.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they have like some kind of distinguishing feature or voice or something.
Mm-hmm.
She was relaying to me a story about watching a Christmas movie with my family that I was not present for. And she goes... She goes, we're watching a movie with Jude Law in it. And I was like, okay, that's Jude Law.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, I just keep repeating that sentence back to her over it. I'm like, okay, that's Jude Law.
That's Jude Law. That's Jude Law.
And I'm like, okay, that's Jude Law. Anyway.
She got there.
I think it's maybe only funny to me because it's my girlfriend, but yeah. Anyway, yeah,
his hairline is insane.
Jude Law's?
Yeah,
what's wrong with it?
He's got like nothing left, but he keeps it going.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think he should.
I
yeah, that
too.
Is right. It is like up here
it's
at
like
this point,
just a strip in the middle yeah. of his head and like way back.
I think it's cool.
I do too. I on it like more power to him. Like keep yeah. that hairline going.
Just extreme widow's peak.
Don't go bald.
Yeah. Yeah.
No point.
Yeah. He looks like he does look like Halo.
He does.
This is real weird. I could just kind of like ooh, I'm just footsie you.
I could touch my feet, bro. That's yeah. crazy. Oh, one last thing before we get to the song.
Good.
Team.
Come up with more things.
I know you guys don't like it when the pod goes on hiatus for a while.
Oh, no, yeah.
Get ready for another one.
Yeah, we're sitting down because we're about to tell you that we're...
If you're standing, you might want to not stand anymore. If you follow our bands, you might have noticed that we both announced tours for around the same time. I leave later this month, and I will basically not be able to record from January 23rd to February 15th. And then Carson leaves the 24th.
February 24th.
February 24th. For how long?
Oh, well, let's see. I'm in Europe for 3 weeks, and then I have a 7 week long American tour. So,
oh my God.
10 weeks.
Jesus.
Yeah.
We have a couple solutions. We might both have to separately record episodes with different people.
That, and also we're going to try and backlog.
We can't do it tonight. I have work.
Yeah, no, but fuck that. I don't want to backlog.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to backlog tonight. I also don't want to backlog for a tour, but
we don't really have a choice there.
We don't really have a choice.
We're going to try our best.
Yeah.
But with how busy the holiday season was, we couldn't really backlog then either. And then we just got put on this Newgrounds tour.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah.
I remember, okay. I gotta send a text to my girlfriend real quick because I forgot to tell her I was coming over here.
Awesome.
Give me 1 second.
Wow. Imagine texting your girlfriend. Couldn't be me. Let me see if I forgot to respond to mine.
Just wait till you've been together for long enough and you could just not respond to anything.
Awesome.
I'll get back to you later.
We're great boyfriends, by the way. Just like, you know.
Maybe you are. what was I fucking talking about? Oh, when you told me that you got added to this tour, it was like a few days later that I realized that we back up into each other.
Yeah.
And I was like.
Yeah.
Because who's the first one with again?
Motion Sick.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
We have a little. Like 5 day one with Motion Sick, and then 2 days later we start a 12 day one with Newgrounds Death Rugby.
Yeah.
Which I'm super stoked about.
It's gonna be cool.
I fucking love Newgrounds Death Rugby. It's gonna be cool. I'm also if you're on the East Coast, we are likely hitting somewhere that you are near to because we're going all the way up to NYC and Rhode Island and going all the way down to like Tampa. And pretty much everywhere in between. So if you are in any of those places, you can come see me. And if you like Newgrounds, I will be playing bass for Newgrounds as well. So I'll be doing double duty this whole tour.
Dude, that's intense.
Yeah, I'm excited, though. I've been learning the shit out of their songs, and they're super fun to play.
I've only been on a couple tours where someone had to... I think I've only been on two tours where someone had to pull double duty for two bands.
Mm-hmm.
And... let me tell you, those guys were fucking exhausted.
Oh, I'm expecting to be exhausted, but like,
at least you don't have to like switch instruments or anything like that.
No, yeah, I literally like all I will be doing between sets is like, I'll just be like, be right back, and then I'll put on their bassist snowing hat and then get back on stage.
That's awesome.
Because like I have presets for Newgrounds now, so like I can just. Yeah. I don't have to do fucking anything.
Quick changeover too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Y'all are playing Will's Pub, right? Orlando.
Orlando? I think so, yeah.
Yeah, great venue. I'm very excited for you to experience that venue for the first time.
Hell yeah.
Awesome, awesome fucking venue.
Yeah.
And there's always a crowd there, so.
I'm excited.
It's cool.
Most of the stops on this tour we haven't played before.
That's awesome. You haven't played Orlando before?
Nope.
Oh, shit.
We played, Tallahassee and yeah, we played Tallahassee.
Did you play a vegan Tampa. Restaurant in Tallahassee?
It was either that or I don't remember which one, but one of the Florida days we played outside the back of a CBD store.
That sounds like Tallahassee.
Yeah,
it also sounds like Tampa, but
yeah, Tampa. Where the fuck did we play in Tampa? I don't know. Somewhere. All I remember is I fucking hated being in Florida.
And yeah.
Like, if you live in Florida, sorry, man. I hate that place. I love the people there.
Yeah. You know what's funny?
Normal ones.
Every time I'm not in Florida, I'm like, fuck that place.
Yeah.
And then I get to Florida and I'm like, I actually kind of like it. I actually kind of like this.
It's just too fucking hot there. We also went there in the summer.
It is hot. Yeah.
So like, I mean, we're going to be feeling the extremes because like we're going up to New York in February and also Florida in the same week.
Yeah. If you are in the UK, I'm playing in Manchester and London. And if you live in Germany, I'm playing every major city in Germany. So come see that.
There's
please.
Gotta be one that you're close to.
There literally has to be one. Or if you live in Paris or Amsterdam or Vienna, Austria, I'll be in those places. But primarily every major city in Germany.
Really hammering in the German market this time.
Yeah, I don't know why. Silverstein just, I guess, is very big in Germany. So
might as well.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
No reason playing not to.
Wiesbaden for the first time. Also playing Nuremberg for the first time.
Mm.
Berlin for the second time.
Mm.
I think. I don't know. And if you live in America, we are coming again to every major city and then some.
Yeah.
If you live in Charleston, South Carolina, we are coming there, which is kind of crazy. But,
yeah. Charleston's where Newgrounds is from.
Oh, for real?
Mm-hmm.
Newgrounds is a Charleston band?
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were a Philly band.
No.
Interesting.
They, I think Beck, their booker, lives in Philly or something.
Oh, word.
But, no, they're Charleston. I'm trying to get them to move to Atlanta.
That'd be funny.
Because they're great. And also,
Charleston has like no scene anymore.
They have a scene, but like it's pretty small. But like, I mean, the upside to it being a small scene is that like whenever there's a show, it's usually pretty packed out. But like, I don't know. I just think, I think Newgrounds would do great down here. It would also be nice to have another emo band here.
Yeah. No kidding.
Cause I think the amount of emo bands in
it's dwindled. Scene,
it's dwindled significantly. There's a couple
so
more.
Many.
There've been some new ones that have popped up. Like Couples Therapy is new. Dogfight's pretty new. But like, I think the amount of emo bands down here that are worth a shit.
What about
count
Hot
on one
Stove?
Hand.
Are they emo?
I don't think so.
Okay.
They haven't put anything out, and I missed their show, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm betting based on what I know about the band members, it's probably like indie rock or alt rock or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Which we have a fuck ton of down here. Just like
knock it off. I mean, to
just
be fair, like
shit ton.
Every metalcore or like avant-garde adjacent band like that we had when we started, like all of those are gone.
Yeah.
Like all of those bands are gone. There's hardcore bands which rock.
There's a fuck ton of hardcore bands too.
Fuck ton of screamo bands here too.
More of them are popping up. Yeah, I think hospitality really kind of got people to be like, oh fuck, you can be in a screamo band and not be 35.
Yeah,
which is great. I would love for there to be more good screamo bands.
Having them at our show was very cool. Mm-hmm. I liked that. We haven't really have we done an episode since our show?
No.
Holy shit! Wow.
No, our,
really
our last
show.
Episode together was November 22nd.
God damn.
Yeah.
That is absurd.
Fucked up.
Yeah, that is fucked up.
It was a great show, though.
It was an awesome show.
If you weren't there, you fucking missed out, buddy.
I mean, it was oversold by like 30 tickets. Like,
it was
kind of impossible to be there.
If you weren't there, it wasn't really much that you
could have
done to be there. But
kind of nothing you could do, yeah.
But, you know, still, you missed out. So.
Yeah, you did miss out. You want to talk about this fucking awful song?
No, but we will.
Yeah, me either.
Team, this week, let's see how far we are into this fucking episode. 34 minutes.
Perfect.
34 minutes.
Maybe we can only talk about the song for 14 or something.
chat, we're talking about Uma Thurman today. I hate to do this to you, but here's a snippet of it.
And it's over. Thank fucking God.
I was going to let that one run, honestly. I was just going to like let them sit in it. Make the people who like this song reconsider why they like it or if they do at all. And make the people who don't like it, like us, suffer because we have to.
My dream guest for this episode was Hayden from For Your Health because for some reason that motherfucker defends this song real hard. Hayden, if you're listening, fuck you. I didn't ask you to be on this because I don't want to get into an argument with you. I don't want to yell at you. You're my friend.
Hayden, I don't know you, but hello.
This is like bottom of the barrel nightmare.
Yeah. Song. This is like...
This is Murphy. This is like Murphy's Law, Fallout Boy.
I don't know what that means.
Murphy's Law states that anything that can happen will.
Oh, okay. And the thing that can happen in this case is Fallout Boy making some unbearable dog shit.
Like the worst song I've ever heard in my life, yeah.
It is like... Oh, my God. I'm looking at the lyrics. I forgot.
She wants to dance like Batman or Halo.
Blow me up in a cyber truck. Oh, man. Hey, listen. If you like this song, you're listening to this
Blow
episode,
yourself up.
You got to do something to fix that. Like, there's something wrong with you, dude. Like,
see it?
Like, I'm normally a guy who's like, yeah, anyone can like whatever they want. But, like, this one is just, like, so baffling as to, like, I don't understand why anybody would like this.
This song scares me.
It scares
you? The implications of this song scare me.
Like what?
Just that, like, anything can be a hit, especially this fucking terrible song.
Oh, yeah.
Let's
do it. Let's do a quick, let's make ourselves feel even worse, by looking up how big this song was.
Okay. Yeah. Make me feel bad, Dawson.
Yeah, I will.
And I'll put my hand in my pocket so nobody can see me play with my thing.
Holy. Fall Out Boy has had 4 top 10 hits. Wow. And one of them was not Uma Thurman. Uma Thurman peaked at number 11, but it stayed on the chart for 28 weeks.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Does it re-enter the chart ever?
No. I don't think so, but its peak date was way after its debut date. Like, it entered the chart on January 31st of 2015, and it peaked September 12th.
You do forget that the song was in a Pepsi commercial.
Oh, I was reading the wrong one. Hold on.
Okay.
Uma Thurman entered the chart April 28th and peaked on July 7th, but it was still 28 weeks on the fucking chart.
That's a long time to be on the chart, man.
Yeah. It's not the longest they've ever had, but it is longer than This Ain't a Scene, It's an Arms Race.
Jesus. For real?
Yeah.
Fuck.
And I Don't Care and My Songs Know What You Did in the Dark.
I would never call this song bigger than any of the songs you just named.
In raw numbers, it was. Except, well, I Don't Care peaked at number 2 on the chart. So, like,
okay.
And it was there for 20 weeks. So, like,
what's the, do they have a number 1? Sugar?
I don't think so. No. It doesn't look like they have a number 1.
We've never discussed this before.
No, their highest chart. No, fuck. I'm looking at that different. Okay.
Why are you so bad at this?
Look at this fucking UI, man.
Oh yeah, it looks like garbage.
Yeah,
that looks
That's
bad.
Awful.
That looks really bad.
Okay, did I get that right? No. Okay. Uma Thurman peaked at 22 and was on the chart for 27 weeks, still longer than My Songs and This Ain't a Scene and I Don't Care. But I Don't Care was at number 21 for 20 weeks. Well, not it wasn't there for 20 weeks, but it peaked at 21 the day that it debuted and seemingly fell off immediately after.
Oof.
Not immediately after, but like for 20 weeks just kind of didn't stick around that highly. This Ain't a Scene, it's their highest charting with at number two for and it stayed on for 20 weeks.
Interesting.
His UI is fucking terrible.
Sugar seems like a bigger song, but also I don't know how the charts work.
Sugar has been on the chart longer. Like it was on there for longer at number eight for 42 weeks.
Whoa.
It wasn't at number eight for 42, but it was peaked at number eight, stayed on for 42 weeks.
Sure, sure.
That is their biggest song.
Okay.
Uma Thurman is bigger than the Saint of Saints, It's an Arms Race in terms of raw numbers. Despite that one peaking at number two.
That fucking sucks, man.
Yeah. It was on for seven more weeks than that one. Which is fucked up.
That makes me feel like I'm drowning. Yeah. That makes me feel like I'm gurgling water, begging for help.
Like, if you weren't there when it was coming out, like, I remember this song being on the radio.
Yeah.
And, like, it was everywhere. Like, that whole album cycle, like, Fall Out Boy was everywhere.
That was definitely peak post-hiatus Fall Out Boy. Not in, like, ticket sales, but in, like, the cultural zeitgeist, I think this was definitely... You know, it was definitely there.
They were at their highest at that point. In terms of relevance.
You know what I want to bring up?
What?
Because I feel like we've maybe never talked about this before. I think that people who maybe aren't familiar with Fall Out Boy's discography, maybe think it kind of mirrors Maroon 5's.
Ooh.
Which I do think that is a possibility. I do think there are people out there who are like, oh yeah, the first two Fall Out Boy records are good, and then it gets bad.
And then everything else is irredeemable dog shit.
Irredeemable, and there's co-writers, which isn't not true, but like, I don't know. You can't really compare them, because pre-hiatus, like Fall Out Boy is kind of the same band every time, just growing and maturing.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I do think that there's someone out there who is just like, oh yeah, it's just like Maroon 5.
Yeah.
Once you get past album two, it gets real weird and bad.
I agree. I think that is a distinct possibility.
I think, I know. Just something to bring up because I don't want to talk about this fucking song.
Yeah, that sucks.
But, what do you think of the Munsters sample in this song?
I mean, it's like, I'd say comparatively, it's the best part of the song. But it's still annoying.
Instrumentally, what is the worst part of the song for you? I want to see if it's the same as mine. It can be the smallest detail.
I don't like how any of the percussion sounds. I think
interesting. There are trap snares in it for some reason.
Yeah. It feels like it feels very like thin but still overbearing somehow. Like we've talked about this before. Like I think this record sounds like shit, and we both do.
Yeah, I think this record sounds very bad.
But like it's the production on this one is still very like trendy for the time, which mm-hmm. is to say outdated by now.
Blown out, lots of sub bass. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know how much real bass guitar is on this record.
Me neither.
I think it's mostly just like subby, like which, not to be this guy, but if Pete had to actually play bass on these songs live, on these songs specifically, he would need a 5-string.
Yeah.
Because the sub bass does drop lower than a 4-string bass in presumably standard tuning or drop D drops.
Yeah.
Now, is it possible that P. Wentz is using an automated pitch shifter that someone backstage is changing the settings of throughout the song? Yes, it is possible.
I would say especially with the advent of them using tracks. I would say that is definitely a very possible.
But what's more possible? That or Pete just not playing bass? I ask you, Dawson.
I would say both are very possible. I think
this is the most uncomfortable I've ever been in my life. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah. Subscribe to the Patreon so we can get another chair.
Please. I would love a second chair.
It would be so awesome. Our rocking chair got sold. Because it wasn't ours, but
yeah.
I can't say. Sorry, I was being possessed by a demon.
Oh my fucking god. That was like an old man noise. That was insane.
Do you ever do you ever get the feeling that like you're gonna burp and then it like almost happens and then
sure.
It fucking doesn't?
Sure. That was just the craziest thing I've ever experienced, man.
Yeah, that's what just happened to me right now. There you go.
So ADHD. I'm like finding things to make myself more comfortable with.
Yeah, I think I would say Pete probably plays live during this song and they have like a pitch shifter. Or they have.
Come on.
I would say, honestly.
Come on.
I would say there's probably like an actual bass track on this song where Pete
sure.
is playing, but it's drowned out by the subs. And they have Pete playing that live, but then the subs are tracks.
I'm fine with that. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Being the possibility.
I think that's the most likely possibility.
I mean, I know the subs are on tracks, but,
yeah.
you know. Come on.
Come on, Pete.
I think he does play bass for certain songs, but there's yeah. other songs where I'm like, you're not playing bass, motherfucker. But I mean, I also don't care.
What's that one on Save Rock and Roll? Fucking Volcano World. What's it called?
Young Volcanoes.
Young Volcanoes. That one's on Save
Volcano
Rock and Roll.
Volcano World. Come on now.
I don't think Pete plays on that song.
He did when I saw them do it acoustic on the Save Rock and Roll tour.
Oh,
he had like an acoustic bass.
That's different.
Yeah. They also played Where Is Your Boy acoustic.
That feels like a disappointment.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a bummer. But I've seen them do Where Is Your Boy full band since, I think. I think they played it at Music Midtown the year that they played.
Hmm.
The year that they opened with Disloyal Order of Water Buffaloes.
So based.
Into Thriller.
Damn.
Literally kill yourself.
fucking kill yourself, buddy.
Yeah, hey, actually just kill yourself. Yeah, I mean, like, for such a goated band, this is a non-goated moment.
Yeah.
This is like
maybe one of the least goated moments
yeah.
in my entire career.
This is like the first song I heard off of Life of Pablo, which was not Ultralight Beam, but the first song I heard off Life of Pablo where I was like, oh.
Which one
okay.
was it? Was it Famous?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, was Famous a single before the record came out or no? It was just Famous. It was just a single later.
I'm not sure. I do know it like popped off because of the Taylor Swift line.
I think me and Taylor still might have sex.
Why?
Because I made that bitch famous.
God damn.
Before we started recording, we saw a very sad clip of Kanye just playing Friends in Paris off of like a Pioneer DJ deck and like kind of mouthing along with it like your dad would to a Led Zeppelin song.
Yeah.
Not even like your dad would do a Led Zeppelin song. I don't know. Like your piece of shit friend would mouth along to an Elliott Smith song. Like it was like he looked
like how
he
LeBron.
Looked dejected.
Kind of like how LeBron like mouths along to songs that he doesn't fully know, but without any of the enthusiasm.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, it looked like he's like they're the like show me why you deserve to have it all line. He's like, show me how you deserve to have it all. He looks
fucked up in that clip.
Would you said he was off the nitrous, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It I. even if he wasn't directly on it, it's fucked up his brain to this point. Like, I feel like there's a...
Yeah, he's done. I heard Carnival for the first time the other day.
I did too.
Oh, Todd in the Shadows?
Yeah. I can't, the mic cable won't reach that far. So
that song sucks.
It's awful.
That song is bad.
I saw another clip from that night where he played Shake It Off and like cut it off into Carnival. And I was like, wow. Like maybe two of the worst songs you could ever play back to back.
Shake It Off by Taylor Swift?
Yes.
Into Carnival?
Into Carnival. It didn't work at all. It's like two complete dog shit songs playing directly into each other. But like one of them is like annoying.
Kanye kicked out of the club for worst transition ever.
It was
ever.
His club. Yeah. It was his house. They can't kick him out.
That's awesome.
God, yeah. That song is fucking terrible.
That song's awful.
I can't believe it was number one.
I'm like willing to... I wouldn't say I'm willing to give Vultures a shot. That's not what I'm... neither am I. But like, if someone was like, hey, there's a new Kanye song that's actually pretty good, like, I'd listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would I listen to it a second time? I don't know. But like, if someone was like, new Kanye song, it's actually really good, like, it sounds like he's like back to himself, which I don't consider Ye as being back to himself. Like, I don't think that album is a Kanye West album. It might as well not be.
No.
But like, if someone told me that, I would listen to it once and put aside everything for 3 minutes to just see if it was good or not.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a possibility now. I thought maybe like, it's like, yeah, maybe like, it, I was made a horrible joke.
Oh no.
I was going to say like,
hold on, let me write down the time just in case. What the fuck is moving back there? Okay, go.
I was going to say like, you know, Orson Welles thought the Nazi propaganda films were pretty good, you know. Orson Welles kind of liked them.
He did kind of fuck with those.
He didn't fuck with them on like I believe in the message, but he's like, they're really well shot, you know. Like I don't know, I just, any possibility of like this fucking piece of shit making a good song ever again, I think is out the door.
Yeah,
and
I
sucks.
I think he's completely gone. Like he,
you think he goes out like Michael? Pick a Michael. Be Jordan.
Jordan. I think. No, I honestly think he'll stick around for a while.
Fuck.
Like I think he's completely cooked. Like,
yeah.
I'm very certain that all the MAGA shit started out as like contrarianism,
mm-hmm.
just to be contrarian. Yeah. But then like in recent years he got on the nitrous and was like, oh, I really believe this now. Cause like I don't think he's had like a sincere public opinion in like 7 years.
Something like that, yeah.
But I think now I think he's definitely sincere because his brain has just been so fucking fried.
Yeah, and I don't know how you come back from that.
I don't think you do. I think you'd like have to respawn.
Yeah. And did like, you see the Lil Uzi over under that Pitchfork put out a few days ago?
No.
He gets to Nitrous like over under and he's like overrated. He's like, I do fucking everything, but I will never do Nitrous. Damn. He's like, it fucks your brain like entirely.
When was that recorded?
Like 2 or 3 days ago.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. He's off it then. Because I heard he was on it for a minute.
Lil Uzi Vert?
Yeah.
Oh.
I heard that was part of the reason why Eternal Take 2 was so fucking bad.
Oh, people will look for any reason to
well,
say that.
Well, I think
album.
There was like videos of him doing it.
Oh.
I'm glad he's off it at least, if he was.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, never do that shit. He's like, not even like a one-time thing.
Yeah.
But he was pretty much like, I do every other bad thing. Don't do that. Which
I
is
do
crazy.
Every other drug. That's fine.
Yeah.
Every other drug is fine. Don't do that one.
You ever done nitrous?
No.
I did it once. I'm good. Like, I don't know. I'm fine.
I feel like
maybe it gave me sleep apnea. I don't fucking know. It was fun the one time.
Yeah. I feel like it's not good enough of a high for the trade-off.
Not at all.
Like, even if it was like, every time you hit it, you feel like you're coming. Like, but
just
as far
do
as
ecstasy. I don't understand. Like, just fucking do MDMA.
Do that. Fucking get your brain fried by ayahuasca. Like, just get giga turbo cooked by that and, like, no longer care about living possessions.
The problem with ayahuasca is that you're pissing and shitting so much.
Yeah.
I don't want to piss and shit that much.
I mean, well, that's why
and vomit that much.
Yeah, that seems like a terrible
thing. You're like literally shitting, farting, pissing, throwing up. Like, that is the ayahuasca experience.
Shitting, farting. Maybe that's why the ego death happens. It's like, fuck, I shit myself 8 times on this trip.
Well, I think your ass is out and you're like shitting into a bucket or something.
Even so, it's like I have no control over when I shit myself. I'm like a baby.
Kind of beautiful. Kind of amazing.
Kind of beautiful. You know what's not beautiful? Uma Thurman by Fall Out Boy.
Fuck. I was hoping we wouldn't get back to it. We were having so much fun talking about other things.
Listen, I got like a I got a tweet on the podcast account from someone that was like, I really don't like it when you guys talk about other things. So to you, I'm sorry.
That's the show.
That's
I'm sorry.
Half the show. Like, that's it's never gonna stop. I really hate to let you down, but like
this poor person, they just wanted their Fall Out Boy podcast.
Just like, fuck, I like we do talk about it.
We do talk
we
about
talk
it.
Talk about
yeah.
Fall Out Boy, but
and
like,
when we like the song, we talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't tell you my least favorite part of the instrumental.
Oh yeah,
it's very small,
mm-hmm.
but very specific. There's a sample during the bridge. Where there's trap hi-hats of and it's a sample that you could go freely download on Splice or maybe freely download it on I don't know tumblr.com of just a bunch of guys going what
oh my god
what
oh yeah that's terrible
yeah it's awful
oh
yeah.
I agree with you
yeah
that's the worst part of the
that's
instrumental.
The worst part of the instrumental yeah
I forgot about that.
Have they ever explained why they wrote this fucking song about Uma Thurman?
Let's look. Let's check the Genius page.
I can't wait to see. Can't wait to see.
This was the lead single. Oh.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
No, Centuries was the first song released from this. It was.
Yeah, no.
Yes, it was.
Well, Genius says otherwise, so it has to be.
Well, it's not true. I was there.
Let me check Write Your Music.
Yeah.
Because they will have it correct.
I think it's Centuries, American Beauty, and then this.
I don't think that's true.
I'm pretty sure it is.
I think it's Uma Thurman. What was the other one?
Centuries?
The other one?
American Beauty.
I think it was Uma Thurman.
You want to put money on this?
No, I don't have money.
Neither do I, but I'd like to have some more.
Let's see. Wow. You're right. It's Centuries, American Beauty, Kids Aren't All Right, Irresistible, Uma Thurman. So Genius is
so
just
fucking
wrong.
You pound sand, idiot.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking shoot myself in the head.
Yeah, I'm going to cut my own head off.
I'm going to cut my own head off.
I should probably pull up the Genius page.
Okay. Fall Out Boy explained the song to their fans on Facebook. Uma Thurman and Winona Ryder, there were these women in pop culture who were quirky, but that made me only crush on them harder. And rather than going with the traditional Uma Thurman role, we thought a lot about Kill Bill and who her character was in that, and this kind of resilience and this violence.
Her most iconic role? You fucking kidding me?
But there's something that's authentic about it, like a woman taking revenge or being empowered. So that's what the chorus of the song is about. And the verses are what you would do to try and capture this woman's affection.
Okay.
She wants to dance like Uma Thurman in reference to
Pulp Fiction.
But then the song is about Kill Bill. We didn't want to go the traditional route, so we invoked both of her most popular roles. Like, bring up Gattaca, pussy. Her yeah. third most popular role.
Why don't you fucking bring up the remake of Hamlet that they did? The modern remake of Hamlet that she's in.
Holy.
Why don't you bring up... oh, wait, no, that's Julie Delpy. I was going to bring up the Before trilogy.
That is Julie Delpy.
Yeah.
Why don't you bring up fucking Nymphomaniac 2?
Is she in Nymphomaniac Part 2? Mm-hmm. Does she have sex in Nymphomaniac Part 2?
I don't think so.
What's the point?
Why bother?
Why bother?
Shia LaBeouf does.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
I hate that guy.
Come on. I don't want to see his little
penis.
I want
that guy to die forever.
She wants to dance like Uma Thurman, bury me till I confess. Are those... Okay. Uma Thurman is an actress famed for playing quirky, mysterious characters. She's a favorite of director Quentin Tarantino. In the Tarantino film Pulp Fiction, Mia Wallace, played by Uma Thurman, asks Vincent Vega, John Travolta, to dance with her. I do believe Marcellus Wallace, my husband, your boss, told you to take me out and do whatever I wanted. Now I want to dance. I want to win. I want that trophy, so dance good. I'm not just going to read lines from fucking Pulp Fiction.
Is that where the...
Don't be a square gif is from?
Is that where the sample for Trophy by Charlie XCX is from?
I think so. Yeah, I believe so.
Good song.
That's the only reason to watch Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
For Charlie XCX, yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Do you remember the first time you watched Pulp Fiction?
I'm pretty sure it was like on my shitty old laptop when I was like 15 and watching R-rated movies behind my parents' back because they still wouldn't let me until I was 17.
Did it become your favorite movie for a little while?
No.
Okay, it definitely was mine for a little while.
I think it was in my like top five for a while though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like, you know, I'm a guy.
It's so funny to like look at how far out of favor that's fallen, because like I feel like it had like two renaissances.
Yeah,
like it played on TV so much when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like my dad watching parts of it on and off, like if he caught it on TV back when that was a thing, kids. Back in my day when movies played on TV,
mm-hmm.
And then I caught it on TV a bunch when I was a teenager. And as I was coming out of high school, like it got this like reappreciation from like everyone that I knew that was like, actually, it's the best movie ever. which I don't even think it's the best Tarantino. I think it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
It is a great movie. It's there's like whole parts of it that I could skip over though.
Yeah.
Like I don't need to see Quentin Tarantino say the N-word that many times. I don't need that whole scene, honestly.
Yeah.
Like that my garage looked like it says dead storage on it.
That was bold. Bold of him to do.
Yeah. And basically everyone's defended him doing that since, so I don't know. I'm not going to ask questions. He just really likes people saying the N-word.
Yeah. I
don't want to have a third joke that we have to cut out.
I think we can keep that second one.
We're going to keep the second one, but...
oh.
You know what? I'll save it for off-pod. Why okay. not?
Yeah, I think that movie... Didn't it not make that much when it came out of initially? Or
I don't know. It doesn't really matter anymore though. Like no. that.
Oh no!
Conversation
it,
I, is like
it did like pretty well when it came out.
I think
and then,
it did
like,
okay because he had because what had come out Reservoir Dogs before that
mm-hmm.
was Jackie Brown out already.
Yeah, I think it was okay. Jackie Brown Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah. Fiction. And then after that is. True Romance, and he won an Oscar for True Romance.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pulp Fiction 94, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. I think it did okay.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there's so many one-liners in it. But like, diner scene. Other than the end when the gold briefcase is there.
Mm-hmm.
Pull it out. The whole dead N-word storage scene. I don't really know what to call that. Pull it out.
Yeah.
Everything with Marcellus and Bruce Willis, great.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could keep everything with Uma Thurman and John Travolta. I don't know.
I think
there's just
I don't know if I would cut like anything out of the movie. Yeah. Like
I think I've just seen all the parts that I'm talking about a little too many. A little too much.
Yeah, I think like part of the whole point of that movie is that like there's just characters not doing anything.
Yeah.
Like a lot of like that's part of like why it was like so innovative is just mm-hmm. because of scenes like the Royale with cheese scene where like mm-hmm. they're not fucking doing anything.
It's like a hangout movie but just with more intense.
Yeah. It's a hangout movie told out of order and like there's three different plot lines happening. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like I think that movie now it's like kind of cool to hate because Tarantino's annoying and like the
Who Tarantino thinks that?
Huh?
Who thinks that Tarantino's annoying?
Oh, great question. like I think he's always been thought of as annoying, but like especially now people think he's annoying.
No.
Like that and the Tarantino says the gamer word 400 million times scene.
Yeah.
Like people don't look on that fondly, but like
mm-hmm.
I think the hate for it is overblown. Like I don't think that movie should be getting hate in general just because like
I agree
it's such a not only is it such like a revolutionary movie that inspired so much after it, but like it's one of those movies where like it's kind of you kind of have to begrudgingly agree that it is as good as people have been saying it is.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I've just seen it so many times.
Yeah, I mean, me too, but like,
yeah,
that's because it's a good goddamn movie.
yeah, it's true. True. Having a poster of it on your wall, though.
I did for a minute in college.
I did too, yeah. I'll fully admit to that. Yeah. This is sucks to say out loud. At one point, I had a Pulp Fiction poster on my wall and a Pacific Rim poster on my wall.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, you could not get two more different movies.
Holy.
I was like, these are the same, I think.
Yeah. I have a Nightcrawler poster on my wall.
Yeah, behind me.
Right there.
Ooh, spooky.
Ooh, does it show up on camera? A little bit. It's a little bit on camera.
I don't think Nightcrawler's that big of a deal.
No, I like if it were more popular, it would probably be a big deal.
But. I want to have forgotten 2010s action movies on my wall.
Yeah.
Source Code.
Fucking
Oblivion. Tom Cruise in Oblivion.
What the fuck am I thinking of? The
After Earth.
No.
That also though.
That also. Yeah. This one with like fucking God, I can't remember what it's called. It's like this guy named John. He's like on Mars.
Oh, John Carter.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. It's
John Carter with Taylor Kitsch.
And also Shia LaBeouf.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I remember being excited for that movie when I saw the previews because I was like 10 years old.
Taylor Kitsch is in that movie.
I believe so.
I think I saw that movie on a date in high school.
Damn.
I know. That's how old I am. Because you were probably in elementary school when that came out. Now that I'm thinking about it.
I don't think elementary school. Like, I'm pretty sure it came out in like 2009, 2010. Which is like...
No. That would have been... I don't think so.
John Carter. 2012.
2012. There you go.
I was in middle school then.
Okay. So I wasn't that much older than you. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, I remember being excited for that one.
Anybody else want to kill each other with guns?
Anybody else have anything else to say that is not related to this dog shit fucking song that we have to talk about? That we haven't been talking about?
What do you think of Kill Bill?
I haven't seen it.
Really?
Yeah.
I love parts one and two. I think it's awesome. I think it's so, so good.
Yeah.
I think it's weird that they've never worked together again. But I don't know.
I think it's lame that Tarantino's like, fuck, I have to make my 10th movie perfect because it's my last movie. Just make more movies.
Just, yeah.
Like, I can't ruin my legacy. Just make more movies.
That's autism right there. Someone once told me that this is the joke I was saying that we should cut out. So maybe look at the time code real quick.
I think I know what you're about to say, and I might have also been about to say it, but go ahead.
Oh, one time someone told me that Quentin Tarantino's autistic fixation is black people.
That's what I was going to say. I think we can keep that in.
Yeah, I think we should keep that in.
That's really funny.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious.
Like, did you see that one interview where he's like dressed up in like African garb?
Oh yeah, dude. Oh yeah.
He fucking loves black people.
He does. And they kind of love him.
Yeah, honestly, like, yeah. He's got the Samuel L. Jackson cosign.
To say it.
Yeah, to say it as well.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's wild.
Yeah, and I mean, like, not like we can comment on it.
No.
Not our place.
Not our place. You did take the end pass away from the Skibbity Toilet guy, though.
I did. I revoked it from him. I revoked it from him and shot him
so
down the
awesome.
Street.
I finally heard the Skibbity Toilet song the other
Sorry
day.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it sucked. It's not awful. As much as this song, Uma Thurman, but... Yeah.
God, this song sucks.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any standout lyrics, specifically ones that bothered you a lot? I have a few.
Yeah. Off rip, the stench of summer sex. Just the way he delivers that line makes me never want to fuck again.
Yeah, and they went with CK Eternity for the perfume, which like,
and then Oh Hell Yes, right?
Oh Hell Yes. That's so funny. Like, CK Eternity is, like, I feel like such a sign of the time. I don't know if it's, like, a timeless perfume, like, Chanel No. 5 is or whatever, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know if it's a timeless scent. It's like writing a song today and being, like, her Ariana Grande cloud perfume.
Her Pontiac car.
Her Pontiac car.
I didn't know they stopped making Pontiacs.
Yeah, that was a recession.
Yeah,
that was a recession beheading. Mm-hmm. I couldn't think of another word for
victim.
recession victim. Yeah,
they had the coolest logo, I'd say.
The dart.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that logo is hard.
Mm-hmm. That's why they should have stuck around.
I mean. If they're not a company anymore, no one's making Pontiac merch.
Shit.
We could bootleg Pontiac merch. Would you wear a shirt that said, like, Pontiac born from sucking dick or whatever?
Like, fucking Atrioc does that all the time. Like, he has an Enron cap, a fucking FTX shirt as well.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, did Pontiac commit the crimes that Enron and FTX did?
I don't think so, but, you know.
Dude. Oh, my God. I don't know how I haven't talked about this. There's an FTX office on fucking Pleasant Hill.
Really?
Yes. And it's that FTX.
Do people go in there?
I don't fucking know. It looks small.
I hope not.
It looks really small. But it was like there was a sign there probably a year ago that said like Georgia welcomes FTX.
Ooh.
And I was like, that's
I hope not.
Interesting. And then they're still there. Like I drove past it the other day and I was like, is FTX still there? Sure enough, it's that FTX. It's
That's
not a
crazy.
Different company called FTX.
I mean, I guess that like everyone...
They still technically have to be a company because they're being
investigated. Well,
right?
Sam
like,
was
you
being
can't...
investigated. I don't know if the whole
right,
company was.
Yeah. But like if he like just dissolved the company outright, that would be like a sign of suspicion.
Yeah.
So technically, somebody does still have to be in the office at FTX.
Let me look if FTX is still active, because there's a distinct possibility that that building is just like a ghost building.
That'd be cool. That'd be funny. We should go break into it.
Okay. Is FTX, I cannot fucking type with my left hand, active? Is FTX still active? It looks like the company just collapsed.
Interesting.
General, like in November 2022.
That's crazy.
Like that building probably hasn't been stepped in since end of 2022.
That's so wild.
So like,
that's so
crazy. It is crazy that that all was like 2 years ago.
Almost three. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That's fucked up. Sam Bankman fraud, more like.
Anyway. Get his fucking ass.
Yeah.
Divide me down to the smallest I can be. Put your venom in me.
Vulva in me.
Consume me with your vulva. He doesn't mind his girl being dominant and even begs for her to be. He doesn't want to be an obstacle for her in any way. So this means her will is his command. His opinion will be the least important. He cares about her more than himself. She is so important that he lives only for her, and his own person almost doesn't matter anymore. Only one venom does that. Love. Fuck the person that wrote
this.
Shut up.
Only one venom does that. Tom Hardy. We got a comment on how that like pre-chorus sucks ass.
Which part?
I can move mountains. I can work a miracle. Yeah. Keep you like an oath. May nothing but death do us part. It feels like somebody trying to write Fall Out Boy lyrics and failing really bad.
Yeah. A lot of the lyrics of this era are like that, though.
Yeah.
Where it's like...
But like this especially, it's like invoking like a kind of gothic imagery.
Invoking Klonek, the demon of the underworld?
Yeah, that too. If you say this backwards... If you say this line backwards, then...
He appears, of course. Yeah.
But like that and like just invoking grand imagery and somewhat gothic elements and then like trying to waffle about it with it, like just some fucking bullshit.
I've taken so many
hits to the head. I know.
So enough to where I can't speak fucking fast enough. I've taken enough songwriting classes to know that there is a certain way that big... like LA and Nashville songwriters like to write, which is they don't like it wordy. And if they want to use some kind of wordplay, it's usually like pretty over the plate. And this feels like whoever they co-wrote this one with was like just kind of dumbing everything down, which is why I think a lot of the lyrics of this era feel that way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, they're not very wordy. They're not very clever. They sound like an approximation of Fall Out Boy lyrics. And I don't even really know if it's Pete's fault at that point then.
No. I mean, there's a shit ton of writers on this one. Yeah. Like mostly because of the sample. But like contemporary writers that also worked on this are Jake Sinclair and Jarrell Young. This guy... And
Jake Sinclair, not exactly batting 1,000 with this podcast.
No. Those two and Waqas Hashmi, it seems like Uma Thurman is the biggest song he's ever worked on.
Interesting. And what's the second biggest?
Uma Thurman remix.
Okay.
Oh, fuck. We have to talk about the remix.
No, we don't.
Who's on the remix? It was Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. Fuck that.
I know we also forgot to listen to it.
Yeah. Also, you have to go to work, and I'm sleepy. So.
So true. Waqas has basically done nothing else. Jarrell Young has worked with. Is this because of the sample? "Poppy's Home" by Drake.
Okay.
Produced on that one. Works with. Also has not done very much.
Pretty funny.
"Poppy's Home" might be because of a sample or something. And then Jake Sinclair, who we've talked about extensively on this podcast, who has a fuck ton of work and a lot of it really bad. And a lot of it good, but a lot of it really bad.
Yeah.
To the point where I don't know how much of it we can really blame on him, but also because like he is the common factor between a lot of really good like Panic at the Disco songs and also a lot of their worst songs and a lot of Fall Out Boy's worst songs.
Yeah.
So, don't know.
You know, I've been meaning to talk about this with you because I don't know if we really went over it a whole lot. because I was in the studio when it got announced.
Mm-hmm.
And we maybe talked about it on the show. But I have a whole new set of thoughts now. So if we talked about it on the show, we can talk about a new thing. The Panic at the Disco playing A Fever You Can't Sweat Out.
Oh, yeah.
And
I don't think we talked about
it. I don't think we talked about it either. Here, we'll wrap Uma Thurman and then we'll have a longer discussion about this. And
or we could do like a brief Patreon talk about it there.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to just save it for the Patreon?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
All right. Yeah, to finish up our thoughts on Uma Thurman. I think it is like it really is like the most distilled form of everything terrible about this band's worst moments.
Yeah.
The lyrics are dog shit. It sounds like ass. It's got an annoying ass sample that doesn't really work with the rest of the song. It is, despite all of this, extremely catchy, which makes it a million times worse.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, in terms of low points for this band, I think the band and maybe even the fan base would consider Something Wrong.
No, I'm just looking at myself.
Nice. I think the band and also the fan base would maybe consider like Young and Menace to be like the depths. For me, this song is the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
This song specifically is like, oh.
In the reality where So Much forever. For Stardust doesn't exist, which was our reality for a while.
Yeah, like this is the beginning of the end. Yeah. Like, and to me, at the time, I don't really know if it was. So I was like, oh, it's more Fall Out Boy.
Mm-hmm.
But like, as time has gone on, like, I'm pretty sure a year after this song came out, I hated it.
Yeah.
In the same way that like Centuries and Save Rock and Roll only have about a year of space between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Centuries was out before Save Rock and Roll was like glued to my fucking consciousness. You know what I mean? Like, before I had internalized that record and knew my thoughts, Centuries was out. I got tired of that song so quick.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, I'm done with this. Like, upon release day, I was like, oh, this is cool. And then, like, pretty sure a month later after hearing it fucking everywhere and just being like, oh, this song kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about this era is I think that what we can say about this, I don't have a whole lot to say about the lyrics. A whole lot more to say about the lyrics. I said my piece. All of them are just different references to Uma Thurman movies.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like that One Direction song where they're just saying the title of other songs for 3 minutes. Just maybe a little bit smarter than that.
Mm-hmm.
What we can say about this era of the band. I don't really know if I'd include Save Rock and Roll in it because it doesn't have as many hits as this album does.
Mm-hmm.
The way that these songs dropped was like initial excitement from pop radio overplayed by pop radio as well. And it was like a fun toy for like normies to play with while it was on the charts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh my God, Uma Thurman from that band I like, Fall Out Boy.
Awesome.
Oh, I know a Fall Out Boy song. I know Uma Thurman and Century and Irresistible. Probably not Irresistible because that one didn't really work. But
thank God.
Yeah, thank God. But this era is all just these moments of like this song gets a Pepsi commercial. Centuries becomes the official song of college football. There's a third one I'm missing, but like there are these moments that just have no staying power whatsoever. And I think that is where I think that's what you and I can boil down our criticism of this era to be is like, yeah, sure, it's catchy. Sure, Patrick like is a good singer. And this is like technically produced well.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. All of these things are true on an objective level. And with the right promotion and the right people in place and the legacy of this band, sure, these become hits. But, like, is anyone putting on Uma Thurman in their car in 2025? Fucking absolutely not.
I hope not.
Yeah, I fucking hope not.
It's definitely not the kind of eternal song that, like, Sugar We're Going Down is.
Yeah, like, I don't know. And just going back to the point on lyrics, like, Sugar is such a catchy song, and I would say that most people know at least the first verse of that song.
Yeah.
And there's clever wordplay throughout that whole thing. There's clever wordplay in the chorus. Mm-hmm. Loaded God Complex, cock it and pull it.
Cock and balls.
Cock and balls. You pull on a cock.
Yeah.
Until
it comes clean off.
Exactly. So it's just, I don't know. The reason why this era is memorable is not a good one. Yeah. That's what we'll say, is like every moment that they were in the cultural zeitgeist, was a bad one during this era.
Yeah.
And I think this represents probably the lowest of the low for it. So.
Yeah, I
at least Mania didn't have any hits, you know.
Yeah, if Mania had hits, there's no telling what state the band would be in right now. Like, yeah. they might have made another album like this.
Oh, Mania, you mean a better record than this?
Oh,
ooh,
I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
As time's gone on, I agree. It's simply for the fact that Wilson is on that record.
Yep,
and that is a really good song.
It's a very good song.
I stand by it.
There was another one that we really liked too, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. Fucking.
There was another one where we were like, oh, shit.
Yeah, there's two songs on Mania that we both
liked.
We
both liked, yeah.
Mania truthers are like whooping and hollering right now.
I know. Hooting for sure.
Hooting and hollering. Because neither of us think it is their worst album.
Yeah.
What was that other song that we liked? Was it,
It wasn't Sunshine Riptide. We don't like that one.
No, that one is awful.
Oh, Fall Out Boy put out a new song?
Huh?
Fuck. Oh, there's a Juice WRLD and Fall Out Boy song that I didn't know about.
Don't. Oh, we have to put that on
the wheel. Put that on the wheel. I'm sorry.
Church was the other one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Which I think is, I don't think it's as good.
It's not as good, but it's still a pretty good song.
I don't know if I would call it good, but it's definitely got more going on than the rest of the record.
Yeah. Oh, no, we liked Heaven's Gate, too. Give me a boost.
Oh, that was, okay. It was Heaven's Gate, not Church.
Yeah. But we still thought Church was pretty good.
So I didn't.
Three songs that are pretty good.
I think I gave Church a 5.
Round up.
No. I won't round up. Sorry, my girlfriend.
Sorry, my girlfriend. What am I doing?
I don't know.
Oh, wheel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this Uma Thurman is a dismal fucking song. I don't think there's anything that I like about it.
Yeah.
Everything that I don't like sticks out in such an annoying way that it's like listening to it is like shoving a fucking pine cone directly into my ear for 3.5 minutes or however fucking long this song is. It's too long.
Yeah.
It sucks ass. It's been a while since I've hated a Fall Out Boy song this much.
I'm inclined to agree with you on that. I think it comes close to their worst song.
Yeah. I don't know if I would call it their worst. It might be the worst on this album.
Bob Dylan exists.
Bob Dylan does exist.
Which, do we have any word on if that's in the Timothée Chalamet movie?
Imagine it's the credits song.
Everyone loves Bob Dylan. God damn, that song sucks.
Oh my God, what a terrible fucking song. But yeah, this song, we might have the same rating.
Oh.
if you want to, do you want to say it at the same time?
Sure, yeah. Right. Let's say it at the same time.
3, 2, 1, 0 I might have to go back and update some of my other scores because I think giving a zero is funny now.
Yeah.
But yeah, awful. Awful song.
Yeah. What this song and what this song represents, I think, is more important than hating Bob Dylan.
Yeah. It's not like Stay Frosty, Royal Milk Tea, where that song is just like really bad and then we can ignore it for the rest of our lives. It's like this song had an impact and like still has its defenders and
positively affected this band's career.
Yeah. It symbolizes a positive change in their upward momentum, but for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And like you could argue that for Save Rock and Roll as well, but this was way bigger, I would say. Like
I would say this song was bigger than that album.
Yeah. I mean, My Songs is like kind of an outlier on Save Rock and Roll. Like that was
It's the only hit. Yeah.
It's the only like actual hit, but then this album had like three. And like this hit is probably the worst of those three.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, let's spin this fucker.
All right. God, let me roll out the damn carpet. Thank you so much for listening. If you're still listening, this is a long ass episode. Hour and a half.
Oh, good.
Pretty good. Yeah. Your little reward for us being gone for like a month.
So long.
And a half.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. It's going to keep happening because we are both musicians.
It will happen again.
It will happen again. Thank you so much again. Follow Carson and I's bands at the Cal Style Boys on Instagram, at Cal Style Boys on Twitter. Follow my band at Bummer Hill on Instagram, at Bummer Hill ATL on Twitter. Follow the podcast at The Dreaded Wheel on Twitter. Subscribe to our Patreon. $5 a month gets you another episode a week whenever we do an episode.
Yeah.
Which is when we're not on tour or making an album.
Yeah.
Every week, usually.
We're still going to try and work something out while we're on tour, too. Like maybe, I don't know. I might bank a couple one-man episodes of me just talking. Truly.
We'll see how that goes. Yeah.
I almost always have fucking something to say. So. Yeah.
I don't know if I can do a one-man episode. I like for one-man stuff, for me, it has to be like heavily edited or scripted.
Yeah. I can just go.
Yeah.
I have the gift of gab. And you have the curse of curves.
All right. Let's spin this fucking wheel.
All right. Here we go. It's spinning.
There it goes. You have the privacy thing on your phone, so I can't actually see it.
I have good news.
What is it?
Coffee's for closers.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Which I kind of thought we had done, but I don't think we have.
I don't think we have either.
Yeah.
But
God, I hope not.
That would be really embarrassing.
Yep.
Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. See you on the Patreon.
Ow. Oh. Fuck. Bye.